Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. You got James, Seth, and Melissa here with you, and we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Enjoying this early August morning.
Yeah, right. Yes. It's nice to have that back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
For one day.
For once. Yeah. It's going to get the tempers are going to be dropping over the next couple of days. Is that correct, Paul?
Yeah, they certainly are. We're going to get slammed by this cold front that comes in as we get into the evening hours tonight. And that'll really drop us into a pretty consistent wintry type temperature regime that settles in here Friday and then all the way through the end of next week. So. The end of our warmer-than-average trend here coming today here as we do stay with those temperatures, the upper 60s to around 70, and then looking at some sunshine early and then increasing clouds with some of the showers and storms looking to build in as we get into this cold front coming closer in. Looks like as we get more later afternoon and then into the evening, the likelihood for some showers and storms starts to push our direction. South winds 12 to 25 today. Showers, some storms early tonight, then headed down to 26. West winds 10 to 20. And then a cool, blustery Friday here with more clouds, highs mid-30s. West winds 10 to 20. Mid-20s Friday night, maybe a few flurries or a snow shower, scattered snow shower chance on Saturday, otherwise cloudy and 34. And then 19 Saturday night. Still pretty consistent. Temperatures still hovering mid-30s, kind of right Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week. So really my very persistent blast of cold air kind of settled in here starting tonight.
Good stuff, Paul. We appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us, Paul.
If you ended well.
Yeah. You stuck. I'd say you stuck the landing. Maybe just the words you were using. Maybe.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, Paul.
Yeah, you're welcome. And enjoy the last warm day for a while. Yeah.
Will do. Definitely. We'll talk tomorrow, Paul. We'll let people know how the weekend's looking. Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Take care. Good one. Have a good one. He's the best. He puts up with us so much. He's so great.
I love the way he referred to winter as a regime, though.
Yes.
It's like, oh, yeah, you are so right on that Paul. Yeah.
That is a man who has spent time in the Midwest.
Yes.
That is, definitely. Big shout out. Be listening every morning around 8-ish, where we will be joined by our friends in the Weather Eye Weather Center. Big shout out to them. Appreciate them. Especially as we get closer to these colder months and the chaos of, all of that stuff.
Winter and snow and...
Good things coming up for you in a little bit. Right now, we're going to start off right here. And I have to admit to the audience, this one is a little bit personal for me and hits home a little. But I would think that it does for many out there. I don't think I'm alone on this. Because I don't think a lot of people even know these exist. A lot of people don't, it seems, statistically at least. Everyone's heard of mental health hotlines like 988, which is for suicide prevention and crisis. Mm-hmm. But did you know there's also something called warm lines? Mm-hmm. It's all one word, warm lines.
Okay.
They're like hotlines, but for when things aren't as serious or not as urgent. Like when you just need to talk to someone, but it's in a dire situation.
Okay. No. Wow, that's amazing.
The website warmline.org has a directory with a ton of numbers listed by state.
Wow.
Some of them operate 24/7. They usually run by trained volunteers who have dealt with their own issues in the past, so people who can relate and know how and what they're going through and really what they're talking about, to be blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Some warm lines have time limits to make sure people don't take advantage, like 20 minutes or an hour, but others let you talk for as long as you need.
Mm-hmm.
They're less intimidating for some people than actual hotlines.
Right.
So
it's another option if you're feeling overwhelmed or just need to vent.
Wow.
Okay.
And again, you can find the state-by-state directory at warmline.org. That is all one word, warmline.org. I'm just going to click. I went to it myself, and it's a pretty basic website. Mm-hmm. I go all the way down to Wisconsin, and I see right away Warmline Inc., Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 414-777-4729. That's 414-777-4729. 4729. They're a non-crisis support line staffed by peer, certified peer specialists and individuals who have been, quote-unquote, been there.
Mm.
Their hours Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 6 to 10. That looks, and there's a number of other lines there too, but just one in particular that you can use right there.
Wow, yeah. I had never heard of that before. Let's get the word out, everybody.
Yeah, because I think it's a little, like, people feel, if you're in a bad place, you're like, well, I don't want to call a hotline. I'm going to get on somebody's, you know, my name's going to be on a list, or I'll get on a radar or something. You know, there's some negative connotation that comes with that. So some people pull back from it. And there shouldn't be that, because you don't. There is no, you can be completely anonymous on those lines, hotlines or warm lines.
That's right.
We're doing a lot of good with mental health. We talk a lot about it, and we're getting to the point where we're not just talking about it. We're actually putting our money where our mouth is and all that. We still have work to do when it comes to the subject of suicide, when it comes to the shame that can create for a person, to where they get to that moment that they think that that's the only solution. And there is no perfect... There is no perfect way of being able to tell when that is the case.
No, there's not.
There are thousands and hundreds of stories of people. They were smiling. They were happy, et cetera, et cetera. All those things and everything. A lot of is tough as it is to ask. Unfortunately, we're still in a place where you gotta reach yourself if you are the one hurting. You have to do some self-reflection, self-personal responsibility, and do something to reach people because it's just so uncommon. Now, one thing we can do, it's not uncommon. It's so hard to be able to, oh, this person is definitely going to be doing this.
Right.
Nobody in history has ever said that.
Nobody has a crystal ball.
Yep.
And if they have said it, oftentimes they may have been wrong because usually the people who are, you know, walking around with like with the cloud over their head, like a Charlie Brown cartoon or something like that, are the people who you immediately think, oh, they're the ones that are gonna. But that's not the case, as we see statistically. It's often the person who is masking the smile, the tears of a clown, that kind of thing.
Right. Yep.
So that's where having things like this, where maybe it isn't, not everybody can afford therapy, not everybody can feels comfortable, as Melissa touched on, calling the National Suicide Hotline or something.
Right.
These kind of things are vital to our society because I know that, to me, immediately I think of, well, this is what friendship is. You know, my friend Chris and I have been friends over 20 some years, and this is part of our friendship. This is part of our dynamic. He vents to me. I vent to him, that kind of thing. That's still not even is a good enough or always the case.
Yeah.
Or I'll be honest, I do this to Chris all the time. He has a venting session, and I could easily piggyback off of something he said. But, man, Chris has got two little wild ones at home. he's got a 60-hour-a-week job. Like, yeah, I'm just going to pull back. You know, I don't want to bug him. I don't want to bug my best friend. We don't get to hang out that often. I don't want to bring the mood down, et cetera.
Yep.
And then what happens? I fester with that. I sit with that.
Mm-hmm.
Having a phone line like this, I can just think of so many, and this is just the stuff that's coming at the top of my head.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how many ways this could be useful.
Well, and for some people, it's actually easier to do it with someone they don't know.
Yes.
Just correct. An anonymous person, and they can just, because then they don't feel like, well, if I do it with one of my friends, maybe they think it's directed at them or something like that. This is completely anonymous. It's completely stranger. You don't know who they are. They don't care about your dynamics. They just want to focus on what's going on with you. And that's great. That's wonderful.
And digging into this a little bit, I went to NAMI Wisconsin.org, N-A-M-I Wisconsin.org, and there are specific warm lines, caregiver outreach, service member, veteran, and family warm line, Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Helpline.
Wow.
Trevor Lifeline, Trans Lifeline, Friendship Lifeline, and that one is specifically for people age 60 years and older and adults living with disability who don't have a lot of friends or someone to reach out to.
Wonderful.
So that is
wonderful.
Really awesome.
Yes.
Back in September, the Vital Statistics Rapid Release Report came out regarding, among other things, suicide rates and where the people that are being affected. Every group that Melissa just mentioned there, specifically farmers, soldiers, veterans, we're seeing those numbers rise. The youth, we're seeing it rise in. For males, the age-adjusted suicide rate is increased by 3% from 2020 to this past year. Rates for males in every age group, they've gone up. Women, it stayed pretty steady, pretty the same, but this we've seen a huge increase in every age range and every facet of life with men when it comes to this.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think of the shame factor that we were just talking about and how quickly men are to hide behind that. And not, I don't mean that in a sense of like they're using it as protection or they're not mean. It's something that...
It's impressed on them by society.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And this idea of machismo and what a man is and all this stuff and everything. I know plenty of men out there who have done therapy, who have done these kind of things, or who believe that the phrase in the Bible, the thing that bends in the river, the goes more farther than the one that is stiff and strong and everything. It looks like it's going to be able to hold the water, but the current
takes.
The
reed that bends,
bends. Thank you, Seth. That we understand that. We're taught it from a young age, but we don't really put a lot of focus on it. And at a certain point, especially when a young man is maturing, it all of a sudden becomes, hey, stop that. A man doesn't do that. Hey, men don't do that. Like. Right. Who's making up these rules?
Exactly.
Who's in charge of this? Yeah. I didn't get a pamphlet. I didn't turn 16 to get a pamphlet. Okay, from now on, I got to make sure that I do this, this, and this. Otherwise, I'm not a man.
Don't like, get don't out cry. Of here don't do this. You know,
miss me can't with do that, anything. Man. That's one of the most ridiculous phrases I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. My father was a boxer and a hockey player working construction his whole damn life. Didn't raise any of us like that.
No.
He's the definition of a manly man and all these things. And I've seen him cry before. I've seen him, you know, get upset. And that's just what the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay to have emotions. Emotions are healthy.
Right, right.
Talking about emotions is healthy.
Yep.
And we need to do more of it.
And something to think about, too, is that I know, James, you were talking about there's not a lot of good ways of telling when people are doing that. One way that is can be substance abuse is one. Like you were talking about using covers.
Yep.
For those feelings that you're having, for covering that depression, self-medication, that kind of thing, those can be really good indicators of something not being right.
It's interesting how, tying into one of the conversations I've had with Sheriff Sean Becker a number of times about this issue and how do you really stop the revolving door of crime and the idea of higher bail bonds and bigger sentences and stuff for certain things. Yeah, when we're talking child molesters and things like that.
Violent crime.
Violent crimes, yes, absolutely. But what about these other ones? Why are they doing this? Why do I continue to see this guy every time doing the same thing here? And you dig a little deeper and you ask why they're doing it. You find so many things lead back to mental health. And it affects all facets of our society. You really want to see, you know, crime go down in those things. Put a little more thought and care into each other and into mental health causes and different programs and different things exist about that. Because there's never, especially coming from the other side of the tracks, everybody, there's not many things that I believe I know what I'm talking about on. I do with this one. Never heard a criminal in human history was going to commit a crime and then he held back because they hired the sentence. The bail bond situation was just too way out of whack, man. You know what? I'm going to go get a job at Mickey D's. Like, that doesn't happen, man. It's not how it works.
No.
There's more cause and effect than you realize, and it's not that hard to put A to B. Just got to do a little digging. Just take a little, you know, have a little compassion. Have a little empathy.
Yeah.
Look at the causes, not the symptoms.
That is if you really care about, you know, these things. If you really do truly want to bring down crime. More and more I'm hearing people that just want to bark. That just want to complain. They don't really like, even if you told them, hey, doing this one thing will completely fix crime. Oh, yeah, but this and this or whatever. Or it came from somebody other than my political party or whatever.
We keep trying the same things over and over again.
What's the definition of insanity?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's not working.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up here at Mornings on WFHR.
Happy birthday, darling. I have no presents, no fancy cake.
It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. If you're hungry, treat yourself. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. And I'm actually going to have to make Seth work a little bit today.
All right, I'm ready.
I knew you like that, Melissa. So give me a 1 through 3, Seth.
I want 3 today.
All right, there we go. That gives us our qualifier. We can get right into it, and we want to wish very happy birthday to Amy O'Keefe.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Amy, enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one for
you. Mm-hmm.
Also want to wish a very happy birthday to Missy Romansky-Powell.
Oh, happy birthday, Missy.
Missy, enjoy your day. We hope it's a fantastic one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And our qualifier today, celebrating the birthday. If you see him, make sure to congratulate him and let him know he's our qualifier today. Jim Clavine.
Jim, happy birthday.
Happy birthday and congratulations, Jim.
You got a mighty fine name there, Jim. You enjoy your birthday. Hope it's a great one for you. I that's a more interesting way to spell James I've ever seen. J-I-M. That's a weird way to spell James.
Yeah.
But no judgment. No, that's a great name. It's a great name. I wish you a good birthday, sir. Hope you have a great one. Enjoy it. Let's go ahead and take a look at, real quickly, I do want to remind everybody to get us birthdays and anniversaries. Mm-hmm. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james@WFHR.com. We appreciate that. If you can also send them through Facebook, like our page, direct message us that way. This also works if, you're reaching out to one of our other cast members here at the station. You know, please feel free to do that as
well. Yeah, right. We'll take them.
I don't want to hog all the birthdays and anniversaries. Somebody
Share,
wants to
man.
Send one to you guys or something.
Yeah.
Please feel free. Let us take a look at our celebrity list of birthdays right now. Zoe Deutsch is 28. I'm not sure how they pronounce that.
I think that's Deutsch. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Zombieland 2, Vampire Academy, Dirty Grandpa. She was her mom is Leah Thompson from the Back to the Future movies.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, from what I've seen.
Really?
She's I didn't know that. I honestly didn't know that one.
How about that?
And she is an interesting one. Mm-hmm. She's a good actress. I like a lot of what she's been doing. Let's see. Taron Egerton is 33. Mm. Played Elton John in Rocket Man, Robin in the recent Robin Hood remake, Eggsy in the Kingsman movies.
That's right. Yep.
That's where he's made a big part of his stature, those movies. But man, when you see him in Rocket Man, really, really does a nice job.
Yes, very good performance.
Yes,
yep.
Very, very solid performance by him.
Yep.
I'm very curious to see what he'll do next, because at that age, you're only getting better and stuff. So we'll see where he goes from there. If he chooses to focus on that and get better,
right.
Let's see. Lou Ferrigno Jr. is 38. That's pretty interesting. I think his dad's birthday was yesterday. I'm actually pretty sure.
Wow, that close.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Miranda Lambert is 39.
She's only 39?
Really?
Only 39, yeah.
She's been around for a long time. Wow.
She has. And one of the better singer-songwriters in the world today. Like, I'm not going to say one of the bigger country music singer-songwriters or any
matter.
Of that. No, not when you're that good. You're that talented and everything.
She got a lot of nominations at the Country Music Association Awards last night.
Did she?
That doesn't surprise
me. Entertainer, female, and for her album, Palomino.
Wow.
I know I saw her name up there for a lot of that stuff, but I wasn't sure how that all played out.
Is she one of the better angry songwriters? A lot of her songs are like really angry, and I think that's awesome.
she's got that down. Yes,
she does. Yeah.
I got to think that if you're going to date Miranda Lambert or have something to do with her, you better make sure that you're doing right.
Mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah. Very talented. Eve is 44. She's become an actress more so later on, but she was a really good hip hop artist as well for a long time.
Yep.
But I like her acting as well. She was in the Barbershop movies a little bit. She did a good job there.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm. One of my favorite character actors of all time, Walton Goggins, is 51 today. He's the star of the CBS sitcom, The Unicorn. I don't know if that's still on or not. You may know him as Boyd Crowder on Justified, one of his greater performances. But you've seen him all over the place.
Yeah,
he was on The Shield.
He's one of those guys. That face. I know that face.
Yeah,
you know
that face.
May not know his name, but you know his face.
I mentioned many times I'm a sucker for Westerns. I love when people can make almost a modern Western. And that's how Justified felt to me. It felt like a Western. And taking place in the aughts, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I go into it because I like Timothy Olyphant. I love Timothy Olyphant, and I'll watch anything he does. And I read the short story, so I'm going to give this a shot. I see Walter Goggins show up, and immediately I'm like, well, if this show runs for 10 seasons, I'm going to be watching. I'm around for the whole run. Just a huge fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good at what he does. If you see him show up, and even if it's a movie you don't know, you're like, okay, this is going to be a good performance.
It'll be a good
performance. Yeah, the movie may not be the greatest or not, but his performance will be good.
Professional.
Get ready to regulate, everybody. Warren G is 52.
Oh, jeez.
Warren G is 52. He's the younger half brother of Dr. Dre.
That's right.
One of the soundtracks of our youth.
Oh man.
G-Funk, Regulate, all that.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's 52.
That just took me back and made me sad at the same time.
Right. I don't. It's a very easy. It's crazy when that happens.
52. Oh man.
Ellen Pompeo is 53. Dr. Meredith Grey on Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
Oh, her name's Grey and it's Grey's Anatomy. Oh, I. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I've actually never seen the show. I've never seen the show.
Me neither.
You've never seen it?
No.
Wow. Yeah, I watched the first probably 7 seasons, and then I was kind of done.
That's how I hear it from a lot of people. If it's not like that, they watched it for so odd amount of time, and then they stop watching, and they're always surprised when it's still on TV.
Well, because they ended the storylines that were in those first, you know, opening seasons, and then they moved on to other stuff with different characters, and I don't know. I didn't have time for it.
Tell you this, Seth and I both just said that we've never seen an episode. That show is going into like season 300 or something.
Yeah,
like
right.
That. Like, they don't need us, Seth. They don't need us. They're perfectly fine.
They'll be fine.
Just think about it. Down the road, if you have ever got a month of time you need to waste, here you got 19 seasons of a show.
You're covering from a broken leg or something like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
I feel confident saying this. One of the funniest people to ever walk on the 30 Rock stage, Mr. Tracy Morgan, is 54 today. I've never seen anybody like Tracy on SNL, and I still haven't.
One of a kind.
Not only did he not really do impressions or really have even do the lines that were written for him a lot of the time, but he was so memorable. People loved working with him. And outside of like Tina Fey, she's very honest about working with him and how frustrating it could be, but how much they brought out the better in each other. Mm-hmm. And then they went and did the TV show 30 Rock together. Mm-hmm. And they kind of became like best friends almost. Wow. And they still talk to this day. They're very close and all that, but it didn't happen overnight. And they were both very honest about that in the show, kind of showing that. He's just so darn talented. I loved those commercials he was in a little while ago where they were great. There's not many things he can't do that don't make me laugh, man. I don't know. I just think he's one of the more funny, naturally funny human beings. And it's so weird because almost anybody else I talk about on SNL, well, it's this that they do. Phil Hartman, great with impressions. Molly Shannon's timing, her fearlessness so many different people. Tracy Morgan, he's just funny. He's a funny human being.
He's got it's that kind of singular comedy that no one else can do.
Yeah.
Kind of like Andy Kaufman was, one of those kind of things, very.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't like it, which I understand because it's kind of an acquired taste. But you're right. I think he's very funny, too. So plus, we're happy to still have him.
Yeah. Yes.
We are very happy he's still alive. So, yeah.
Comedian turned actor Sinbad is 66 today.
Really?
Yeah.
Women be different from men. Oh, sorry.
It's so such a Sinbad. That was like the whole 80s was comedians doing that joke.
Yep.
And Sinbad, one of the bigger guys at it.
Yep.
I just saw him the wonderful TV show Atlanta, one of my favorite top 20 shows of all time, easily, is wrapping up tonight. And Sinbad was on a recent episode. I hadn't seen him in a long time. Mm-hmm. He looked a little rough, but it was still good to see him. Like, it was still, he's still kicking,
I'm glad he's around, yep.
Tim Rice is 78. Tim Rice did a couple of things in his career, not a whole lot, guys. Just the lyrics for Evita, Aladdin, The Lion King, Jesus Christ Superstar, Joseph and the American Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Is there an Elton John song you like? Well, chances are Tim Rice probably had something to do with it, and vice versa for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Elton's longtime songwriting partner, incredible lyricist of his own right, as you can see.
Mm-hmm. One of the great lyricists, especially musical lyricists of all time, I would have to say.
Yeah. And some people no longer with us, and all four of these are great names right here. Greg Lake, born in this day in 1947, passed away in 2016. Certainly the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer,
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
Great line. Russell Johnson, born in this day in 1924, passed away in 2014. He's the professor on Gilligan's Island. Yes.
By the way, if you want to check out some early Russell, watch every B movie from like the 50s. He was in it before he got the Gilligan's gig. So many movies, and he usually played the bad guy.
I feel like back then it was if you were tall, they cast you as a bad guy. It seemed like because all the stars were short, like Jimmy Cagney, all those guys were so short. It seemed like okay, hey, you're 6'1", get over here. I don't act. I don't care. You're 6'1". Get over here.
You're the bad guy. Come on. Menace him.
Yes, yes. The great Roy Scheider, born in this day in 1932, passed away in 2008. Of course, Jaws, one of his more famous roles. Tons of great work throughout his career. I have to say, one of, if not his last acting performance, and at a point in his career where he didn't need to work. He worked because he saw a project he really enjoyed. He did a Law & Order SVU episode where he did not play a good person.
Wow.
And just eerily good. Like, just say, okay, that guy hasn't lost his chops. He can still act. Just like, I almost get goosebumps thinking about it because it was a great performance.
It's not necessarily an easy movie to watch, but it has, it's a fascinating movie, and it's one of a kind. All That Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
The Bob Fosse movie. He's the star, and he's playing basically Bob Fosse in it.
Yeah.
And,
from 1979.
Like, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing, it's a weird film. It's very avant-garde in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you get to hear Roy Scheider singing in it, which is kind of fun. Ben Vereen is in it, too, so you don't want to miss that.
Yes.
It's a remarkable performance by Roy Scheider, though. Probably his best.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And I mean, one of my favorite actors when she was with us, Brittany Murphy, born in this day in 1977, passed away in 2009.
Yeah.
Clueless, Sin City, 8 Mile, Don't Say a Word with Michael Douglas. Having a brief career, man, did she work really good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mention, for my money, her greatest acting performance. All those movies, she was great, and I loved her in every single one, especially Sin City. I thought she was sneaky good in Sin City. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't quite go to see it because of her, but came away knowing her name.
Yep.
Girl Interrupted. If you want to see a movie that is an acting tour de force, especially if you like female acting, you got Whoopi Goldberg, Winona Ryder, Angelina Jolie, all of those, three of the greatest actresses any of us will ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And for my money, Brittany Murphy steals every scene she's in with those ladies.
That's saying something.
Easily does so with her performance. She just, a part of it was her eyes were so expressive, and just she could tell a story with her eyes even. Mm-hmm. Very similar to a great Betty Davis or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. And I realize that comp is a stretch for some, not to me. Not to me at all. I don't think she got her due, and I'm going to make damn sure that in her passing, she gets her due.
Yeah.
She also would have been the perfect Harley Quinn. I can't let it go.
She would have been very good. Plus, she was an excellent voice actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was.
She was very good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just gone way too damn soon. Mm-hmm. And just a very talented young lady. We want to take one more time to wish a couple of other young ladies a happy birthdays. Amy O'Keefe, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Missy Powell, enjoy your day.
Happy birthday.
And our qualifier, Jim Clavine. Happy birthday, Jim. Enjoy your day. You're our qualifier today.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Happy birthday. I had to get in before Melissa that time.
I knew what you were doing. I mentally slapped you. And I'm sure you felt it.
That guy almost got me a little bit of that.
Felt the breeze on it.
Mm-hmm. You make sure to listen to Melissa's news. Don't get smacked upside the head, everybody. She can do it. There's all the way from Abbotsford, she can even do it.
That's right.
And while you're doing that, get ready to head on over to Misty's Menu and treat yourself. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a good day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Just turned into a late 90s house party. Showing our age around here a little bit. Back in my day, hip-hop was... Welcome back, everybody. 8:40 on the clock. Seth and Melissa and James here with you. We're having a great time, and we hope you are, too. Keep on listening. Got plenty of things coming up for you. A chance to qualify to maybe win Quality Foods Turkey. Good friends over at Quality Foods, IGA, giving us an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Green Bay giveaway as well.
Mm-hmm.
We got the United Way Radiothon less than a week away, everyone.
That's
I want to get into that, too. That is going to be a blast. That's going to be such a fun show.
And yes, indeed.
Speaking of shows, Melissa, wanted to, if you don't mind, talk with you a little bit about All the Ways to Say I Love You. This is the studio theater production going on at WRCT November 18th and 19th at 7 o'clock. And our own Melissa Kay, of course, is the star of this. How's it going with it?
Actually, it's going really good. Today, 1 week from today is tech.
Mm. Yes.
And so it opens a week from tomorrow. Mm. So it's coming down to the wire. And I'm happy to report I spent a solid, we'll say, it was almost an hour before my boyfriend got home from work. And I was running through the play, you know, just powering through it without looking at my script. I managed to get all the way through, and I screwed up, but I knew where I screwed up, and I managed to go back, pick it up, do it right without looking at my book.
Right on.
That's a win.
Right twice. On. Twice.
Win.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a win. Because when you can, in your own brain, go back and go, okay, nope, this is, I know yep. here I was right, and somewhere in that monologue I screwed up. And to be able to go back and go down through it and be like, yep, this was it. This is where I messed up. That was huge.
So happy for you with that. Yeah. You know, that's something, Melissa, I don't care if anybody out there has never acted a day in their life they can relate to. When you start a new job and you're just getting that, you know, you're just kind of getting your feet wet, just trying to figure out the lay of the land and all those things. And then you start to feel better about, more confident at it.
Right.
It frees you up to think a little bit more about said job. With something like this, Melissa gets her lines down, gets her blocking down. Now she can really, like, not that she hasn't already, but she can take even more time thinking about these lines, thinking about putting the emotion.
The emotion behind it, right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you don't have to spend as much brain power going, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? Well, it just kind of comes naturally.
It does.
Because acting's so darn common and it's so all over the place, and to be honest, there's so many bad acting out there, so much bad acting out there. I think people forget how difficult a process it can be when it's done right, and how darn artistic and beautiful it can be when it's done right. Mm-hmm. When you take the time, like an actress like Melissa does with these kind of things, and puts the effort and energy into that, and doing something like this as a passion, you know, it isn't for the bank account. It isn't for this or this or this.
Nope.
It's that kind of thing.
It's kind of a bucket list kind of thing. I can
That's right.
Yeah, and I did this, Melissa, when I was about 26, 25, something like that. And to this day, like 20 years later, and I'm still living off it. I'm still feeling, I build confidence from that and everything.
Right,
you're so right about that. I'm so damn proud of you for it. That's really cool to hear.
I'm really excited, and I hope people will come out. I know that we don't have the budget to do a whole lot of advertising for this show because it's a small studio theater production. So, you know, we're not expecting to sell out for sure. I mean, it's a 40-seat theater. I'll be happy if we've got a handful of people there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more for the effort of doing it. And it's not a show for everybody. I know a few people who have chose not to come, not that they don't want to support me, but just because the content for them is something that isn't for them, that it would, you know, trigger some issues that, because this is kind of that kind of show. It's going to have some moments. It's definitely an adult show. Mm-hmm. It's adult material. But I kind of summed it up for someone that I was speaking with yesterday about it, who was interested in the show and wanted to know a little bit. And I said, well, you know, to be honest, it's a show about a teacher who is trying to save her marriage, and she does that by having an affair with a student.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just
heavy duty.
It's heavy. And her choices and how she chose to go about saving her marriage. And then you get to see that process, because in the show, it's just her, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a one-woman show.
Right.
And she's talking about what she did, why she did it, and then also just you see the mental unraveling that is happening in her brain as she's going through this whole process and what happened and the outcome of it and how she was trying so hard to do the right thing by doing the wrong thing. And how it tears her apart, because it really does. And by the end of it, you can see that just how it all, that it's like the perfect storm of she ruined herself.
Wow.
Not many actors are willing to take on a performance like that, Melissa. A character like that, you know, it's all well and good when you get to play a superhero or something like that and everything. But playing characters like this is where real acting's done. This is where the art's made.
Yes, I agree.
Well, and it does have a couple lighter moments. I think that there will be a few laughs here and there, whether it's nervous laughter or, you know, however it comes out. So, you know, while it is heavy and it is heavy material and it addresses everything from obviously. You know, an affair with a student, albeit he's a second year senior, so he's probably at least 18, if not 19.
Let's hope, yes.
he is still obviously a student and teacher, and that's wrong, however you look at it.
Yes.
But it also addresses racism and women's role in society and where we're still stuck and where the fight for equality is still a battle today. So it's a lot of hot button trigger issues for a lot of people.
I'll be there, Melissa. I believe I'll be there that Friday. I'm going to go to that one.
Oh, I'm excited.
Beth and I are planning on coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good.
Oh, right good. Right. Yay. Awesome.
I should be honest, though. I want to support Melissa. I believe in supporting the arts. Our WRCT, you know, our good friend here and everything, my sister here and all that and stuff. But I'm hoping that Melissa gets done early so that I can rush up there after she gets done bowing and do my one-man show of this Every Simpsons character.
Every Simpsons character?
Yep.
He's trying to steal the show again. He just can't help it.
I'll invite you up on stage, James. How about that?
Thank you. I've been working on my Moe impression. I've been working very hard. And I do a really, really good Maggie Simpson.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, that's pretty good. I like that one.
This is going to be a good show, everybody. I have not written anything, and I really don't know.
If you bring props, James, I'll let you up there. But if there's no props, there's no go.
I'll just bring a big pink donut with me.
That's all you need.
I think
they have inflatable ones now.
And Bart's lucky red hat.
Yes. Thank you for that, Melissa. And again, if you want to take in this show, support the art, support our good friend here. All the ways to say I love you will be premiering November 18th and 19th at 7 o'clock at the Studio Theater in the Centralia Center, the WRCT stomping grounds over there.
Yep.
You can get your tickets right now going to wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Go out there and do that. And something else we want to encourage you to do is get in on some turkey trivia.
Turkey trivia?
Ooh, turkey trivia time, everybody.
Are we coming upon a holiday where turkey is very important?
But let me double check.
I think we are.
Yes, we are.
Might be.
Why, yes, we are. It's the Thanksgiving turkey giveaway, everybody. We are right now in the process of collecting qualifiers for the big drawing of a 14 to 18 pound turkey from our good friends at Quality Foods. So I believe, James, is that correct? Right now, we're going to be asking for a call.
We're doing it now?
Yeah. Oh,
cool. We're doing it right now.
Okay, but what's the question?
That's coming right now. So if you stop interrupting me, Melissa.
Sorry, I'm just excited.
I'm excited too. I had to turn my mic off.
So we're going to take the first caller, James? Is that what we're going to do today? All right. So here's the question, everybody. What's the most popular way to cook a turkey on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
The most popular way.
424-2600, everybody. Call up 424-2600. Let us know what is the most popular way to cook a turkey.
On Thanksgiving.
What is the most popular way?
Think of all the ways you can do it.
Ground oven.
Eventually, we'll do the show where we hear about the things that you tried that didn't work. But
that'd be a funny one.
This one, just want to get that. Let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a winner. What's your answer?
Hi, I'm just thinking about just baking it in an oven. In a big pot with a lid on it.
In other words, roasting it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then you're our winner. Yes. Yeah.
Nicely done.
All right.
That's what I would do.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's the most popular way. Nice.
Can we get your first name?
Kim.
Kim, it is great to hear from you, Kim. Thanks so much for playing along and listening. We appreciate that. Kim, what town are you calling us from?
Rosholt.
Right. Awesome.
It's Kim from Rosholt.
We don't get enough people calling from Rosholt. That is so awesome, Kim. You made our morning. That's really cool to hear.
Thanks.
We really appreciate you listening, Kim. Could do us a favor, hang on the line, going to get a little information from you, but you're today's qualifier to win this great 14 to 18 pound turkey from our friends at Quality Foods.
Thank you,
Mark. Thank you. Hang on the line. We'll talk to you a little bit more in a second, Kim. How awesome was that? Rosholt on the bat. Yeah, that's awesome. Really cool.
She got it right out of the bat.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Great job, everybody, and great job, Kim. We'll talk to her, and we'll come back with some more fun stuff for you at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR. Big shout-out to Jennifer and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
We got a bunch to do to take it to the top of the hour, everybody. First up, want to send a big shout-out to Kim, our qualifier today for the turkey giveaway.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats, Tim.
Say good morning to our friends out in Rosholt and everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's really cool. Do want to let you know, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have good stories of the day, that ain't right stories. We're also going to talk a little bit about the great event coming up tonight, the Aspirus tree lighting ceremony with Lights of Love.
Oh, that's next Thursday.
On the 17th is when it's coming up.
You got it.
But I do want to touch a little bit on that with you, Seth, while mm-hmm. we got you here and everything.
Sure.
So we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Here's an interesting one, and I think there's a number of ways we can look this. We can look at this. A lot of homeowners take pride in their properties, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't give it up tomorrow for their dream home. In a new survey, 94% of Americans, 94%, said that they are not currently living in their dream home. But mm-hmm. everyone has a different idea of what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
For example, 28% of people say that their dream home would be in the suburbs. 22% prefer a beachside home. 20% want their dream home in the country. And another 15% right in the heart of the city.
Wow.
And people are being realistic. While some said that their dream home would be a multi-million dollar mansion or whatever, the majority mm-hmm. of us say that our dream home would cost around $500,000.
Wow.
The most popular.
That's a lot of money.
The most popular exterior style is modern, followed by ranch, Victorian, farmhouse, and cabin. Modern was also the most popular interior style, followed by minimalist, traditional, contemporary, and eccentric.
Eccentric.
Yeah. I hadn't heard
that's
that.
That's why I decorate.
Yeah, as a category, eccentric.
I wouldn't have guessed that. And the most popular dream amenities are a home with a view, a big backyard, a large family room, a front porch or balcony, privacy, a hobby mm-hmm. room, and a home theater.
Mm. They don't have a 50s diner in there. That would be mine.
Right on.
Really?
That's what I'm looking for. Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Aww.
When I was a kid, I thought I was one of the most creative people under the sun because, oh, when I make it, I'm going to have a movie theater. I'm going to do that. That's going to be so cool. And then I grow up and I see it on The Sopranos.
Everybody's got one.
There's one in the White House.
Yeah.
It's kind of like because I'm such an untrendy person, like there's a part of me that almost wants to crush that dream. Like I can't like it now. Now everybody wants to do it, but I still love the idea.
No, you can still do it. But you could do it in your own way, see.
Right.
You can figure that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think one side of this is, hey, that is something to build to. That is something, no pun intended, that is something to build in your life towards, getting that dream house and everything.
Yeah, all right.
I think there's that part of it, and that's always cool. I do think, though, that we're seeing a little bit with this, and maybe I'm pulling from my conversation with JR this week on Morning Magazine, Let's Talk Real Estate. If you didn't get to hear it, please do listen to it, everybody. It was fantastic. JR mm-hmm. was on fire.
CivicMedia.us.
Right on. Nice stuff. Talking about that stuff with him for years, and then seeing more of these numbers come out, because people are still like, once the pandemic stopped, people kind of thought, oh, home buying might stop, and that has not been the case. More than not, people are, hey, if I'm going to live in this area a while, I'm tired of renting. The things that renters get away with and some of that stuff, the high prices and look, it's not all like some, everything's a case by case, but it's not all renters' fault either. Like
no,
a lot of renters were kind of like in a rock and a hard place. Almost all of them were during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We're in a rock and a hard place.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
There are very, I had a lot of slumlords growing up, okay? So I know quite a bit about that world. I also know there are some good people out there,
mm-hmm.
especially in rural communities, who mm-hmm. are just trying to give people an opportunity, you know, and they can't afford, there's no insurance plan for that. Now, there was a number of things the government did to help those things for both renters and rentees, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of, but. More and more people are like, I'm tired of this. I want to own a house. I want to put, mm-hmm. If I'm going to throw money down the hole, might as well put it towards something that's actually going to, lead to something.
Right.
I don't know. What about the most popular exterior style? What is your guys' main style? Is there a style that you care about? Do you even care? I mean, growing up in the city and in apartments, like, just give me a house. Like, I'm not going to complain. Like,
something with more than one room.
Right, yeah. Right. I don't care. Yeah. Tiny house, big house, little house. I don't care. There's like, does it got a view? Like, does it have windows? Can I get in and out? Does it have a bathroom?
There's not somebody living above me and below right. me and beside me.
Yes.
Bathroom you
yes.
don't have to share. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Is there a style you guys prefer or like, or that you know you find?
Well, visually, I've always been drawn to historical houses, like Victorian style yeah, architecture. Yeah. Just I love it. Would I want to live in a house like that? Probably not. Yeah. I'm thinking one level. Sounds
oh,
nice.
Oh, I agree with that one.
Yeah,
I don't
like
stairs.
How a ranch looks, but I'd live in one.
Marble
for
columns
comfort
are,
style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point too. Marble columns are cool. I don't know if I want to walk in every day into my house with marble columns.
It's like walking into a mausoleum or something,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
I can't even touch things in my own house. Like if I break something. You're gonna get in trouble.
And like looking at it, but yes, like you, James, it's like, do I want to live there? Probably not.
And I am a sucker for the cabin style, even the ranch mm-hmm. style. I kind of like. If you're telling me I can own a house, certainly you're thinking about how much land you got. Mm-hmm. But also, I want every day. I want to come like a job that you like going to. Mm-hmm. I want to like going into my home. Looking at my
yes.
house, that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't
totally with you on that.
I have such
Absolutely.
A low bar for this. I have such like.
Does it have four walls and a roof?
Yes.
That's all I need.
Do you have a
keep the water out?
Do you have a style you like, Seth?
I guess they said modern was, and I'm not sure what modern entails.
Yeah.
Without seeing, you know, some pictures or something mm-hmm. like that, but probably something a little more moderny, I guess, is something I'd like more with angles and that kind of stuff.
Sleek.
Yeah, you know, not too much. I don't want it to look like, you know, like a sterile,
austere.
You know, science experiment kind of thing.
Yeah.
I want it to look, you know, a little more homey, though. So maybe the inside would look a little more comfy. Maybe not quite so severe. Yeah.
I love houses with character.
Yes.
That just seem to have a personality of their own kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I call peeling paint and holes in the walls.
Yes.
It's got character.
Yes.
My house has got character.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.